I'm Faith Middleton. It's great to have you joining the party on the Food Schmooze here on WNPR in Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and New York, including the East End of Long Island. My food buddies are here. Christopher Prosperi of Metro Beast Restaurant in Simsbury, Connecticut. Our senior contributor, regular contributor, Alex Provins, producers Lori Mack and Jonathan McNichol. Hey, everybody.
Hey.
And you can tell your friends, no matter where they live, that they can listen to the Food Schmooze from anywhere in the world, as many people do, at WNPR.org. It is corn season. This is one of our favorite times.
Yay.
Love corn.
Oh, so we have it steamed. We try it fried. We broil it. We grill it. We do everything imaginable with the corn that we can do. Just cruising through recipes, we love the classic corn on the cob with butter and salt. There are people who do olive oil. People put cayenne, Mexican treatment, Asian treatment. It's unbelievable.
When we were kids, we had our own corn. What are those
oh,
called?
The Turner.
The plastic.
The holder.
Yeah, the holders. Right? We had our own cornhole. Like, those were mine, not my brother. And then when you got your corn, the first thing you did was put it in one end, and then that's how you held it when you eat it right off the cob.
That's so 1970s.
Yours,
like, yellow with, like, shaped like corn?
Yes, well, they mine were.
We had all different ones, right?
What about dishes? Did you ever have a corn dish?
We didn't have – no, but we had a butter holder. Right?
Oh,
we had the where you put the stick of butter and you pass that around, right? Because the stick of butter went on this special corn butter plate.
I forgot
and then
about
you,
that.
And then you would
I
pass the stick around
again.
And you'd roll it in there. And the funniest thing was the next morning you knew you had corn because when you went to butter your toast in the morning, it had that sort of indentation where the warm corn kind of melted.
Wow. You used to take a corn on the cob with the butter, and then you'd roll it like a roll across and try to melt as much of the stick of the butter like you could get halfway through a stick of butter.
Do you think – I think salt is a key.
Oh, no question. Butter first, then salt.
It just depends on the sweetness of the corn because sometimes you need nothing.
Yeah, that's true.
And do you find there are certain years – last year for me was probably one of the best corn seasons of my life.
I've been told I say that every year.
Oh, do you really?
This is the best corn season ever.
This is the best corn. You said that last year.
I
know, but
this
is the
though.
Best year.
I think the kind of corn they're growing is getting sweeter and better every year.
Yeah.
It's
different
getting
variety.
Better and
is
better.
Is it a good thing? Is that a good thing?
For
does
me, it is.
Some people say it doesn't taste like corn anymore.
Candy.
You know, Lori's
like, dessert. Yes, please.
What do you think?
I'm good with it. You know what? I love sweet corn, so the sweeter the better.
Yeah,
I don't know why.
As long as it's like real and wholesome. If it turns into, you know, something that's too modified and weird, I don't want that.
No, I think these are just crossbreeds, right? Where they've found the best attributes and they keep crossbreeding what grows best in this part of New England versus another part. And farmers really know what corn grows best for them.
Your lips to God's ear.
I remember being in college in Colorado and having going to the grocery store, and I was going to show my friends how to do corn on the cob like we do back east, and brought this corn home, and it was practically inedible. I think it's the corn that your dad talks about.
Chicken.
Like,
I told you my dad wouldn't eat corn for the first like 10
feed
years.
Feed livestock or something.
Yeah, it's for the chickens.
Like back in Connecticut, our corn is sweet.
It's so good.
Like, so was it a mistake? Was it for something else?
I don't know what it was.
How about being a kid and getting the job of shucking corn? We love that as kids. We would sit on the porch in the summer and go
out. So
you
shuck it before you cook it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. My mom boiled it back then, right? I don't remember. The first time I had grilled corn, I was a little kid, and my dad has a really good friend that was visiting from Japan. And he was the one who turned us on to grilled corn. And he, instead of butter, he would do the butter. He would do the butter first. And then instead of salt, he put soy sauce drizzled over it.
Oh, wow.
Wow. I've never heard of that.
I know. It was the first time. But the funny part, it was the first time I had seen grilled corn.
Do you ever in the house, sometimes it's raining or you just want to do it quickly, do you ever shuck the corn inside a brown paper bag?
Yes.
So in that, you know, those silks, you know, they somehow stick to the inside of the bag and it's kind of great. We have to get to the recipe. You can tell there are people hungry for corn on this show.
Shucking.
So I thought we could start with I'm a fan of fried corn, and I have a friend, Emily Olshansky, who's a judge in New York and makes, you know, was a chef and makes the most amazing, home cook now, fried corn. I cannot duplicate it. I don't know what in the world she does, but her in a cast iron skillet, her
corn. I've tried to make her corn. You've given me the recipe, and it really is good. Even if you don't quite get it, it's really good.
What's it fried in butter?
Yeah.
It gets so brown. The butter browns.
Yeah, she does a thing where she just knows how long to keep going for the caramelization of the corn in the pan. I always go too far, and hers is sweet and incredible, and the salt is exactly the right amount. Anyway, so I'm hunting. And then I came upon Sandra Lee's fried corn recipe. And I thought, this is a Southern woman. She's a very good cook. Let's go for her fried corn recipe. So simple as could be, these are all posted online. All of them. We have, I think, more recipes for corn than we have had for anything on the show.
There are so many.
Dozens and dozens and dozens. So much fun. So this is butter and frozen corn or fresh off the cob, which is good right this time of year. A little bit of sugar or honey, heavy cream. See, there's the secret for her. My friend Emily doesn't do that. And a little bit of black pepper. So over a skillet, melts the butter. When it's foamy, in goes the fresh corn, stirs it to coat it with that butter for about a minute. Then that pinch of sugar or honey, cooks for a couple minutes more. Now the heat goes on high, and Sandra Lee adds heavy cream and keeps stirring, so the corn doesn't stick to the pan. A little salt and pepper. And what's happening for her, this is like corn risotto. What's happening in this recipe is that the corn is absorbing the cream. So if you're an Atkins person or a paleo eater, I'm telling you, this is as close as you can get to paleo eating and still have something that's filled with carbohydrates. It's a great, great idea. So that recipe is posted for fried corn. Isn't that a wonderful idea of the corn absorbs the cream?
Corn and fryness.
I was thinking of, it's almost like making caramel, like melted sugar cream.
What could be better?
Cooking it.
It's dessert.
You just haven't popped it. That's the only thing. all right. So now let's go to Chris Prosperi, because Chris, I love corn cakes. Chris has a recipe here that's so fantastic for corn cakes.
The best corn cake recipe I've ever seen or ever tried. And it just, I don't know, it's the combination. It has two different flours. It has regular flour and cornmeal, a little bit of butter, milk. And then, so let's start from the beginning.
And it has extra egg yolks.
Yeah, so that makes it even richer. So you just take your corn off the cob.
Scallions. I'm looking at your recipe.
Yeah, scallion or chives. You can do either or. This time of year, you can have both in the garden. So corn goes in a food processor with about half the milk. So, and this is a good trick, because then you sort of break up the corn a little bit. Then the other half of the milk goes in the food processor with melted butter. And then you give that a spin, and then it gets eggs and those extra egg yolks, which is like, that's
what do
serious.
Those extras do?
They makes it richer. Okay. Yeah, uh-huh. It richens the mix. And then you take that and you put it in a bowl with the two different flours, which is all-purpose flour and cornmeal, and then a little bit of salt and some
baking powder.
Yeah. Oh, and just the teeniest bit of baking powder to give it that little bit of rise. You know, just like the tip of the knife in there goes in. Oh, my gosh.
And you fry these in a regular pan or a skillet?
You can do nonstick. You can do a regular pan. You can do it in butter.
And can you do it on the grill?
You can do it on the griddle.
The griddle of the grill, if you have one.
Yeah, if you have a griddle, that works great. And I'm telling you, these just come out like golden, golden brown.
Do you do one, like a big one that's the size of the pan, or do you do little batches?
No, I do like little, like maybe silver dollar size.
Oh,
and then you can just, and then you just eat them with your fingers, right?
Do you dip them in anything?
Oh my gosh, you can do whatever you want, sour cream. You know what I like on it is get yourself some smoked salmon. And you take a little bit of smoked salmon and put it on top of each corn cake with a little sour cream and just pop it in your mouth like candy.
What a nice hors d'oeuvre that would
be. That is cocktail party food of the highest order.
Yeah. That with champagne would go great.
Yeah, totally.
Yes.
A nice icy bottle of champagne or sparkling wine.
Sparkling rosé too, right? Yeah. Okay, so Chris's corn cake recipe on the site, foodschmooze.org. As you can tell, we are having a wall-to-wall corn celebration. It is out. It's here. And so much fun. Now, one thing we skipped over is how to do, you know, what is your family tradition in terms of making just basic corn? I have taken canned corn and simmered it in a little bit of milk, and that sweetens the corn, and it doesn't – the way canned corn tastes neutral, and sometimes frozen corn tastes that way. I always do it in milk. It sweetens it up, tastes like real corn to me. So I was cruising around to see if anybody had family recipes that referenced that, and I came to – all recipes, and Jamie has a sweet and easy corn on the cob. So she said, and she's been doing this for years. Big pot, as you do with what brings the water to a boil, and then stirs in a little bit of sugar and lemon juice. Stirs that until the sugar is completely dissolved. So you've got a big boiling pot of simple syrup, in a sense. And then puts the shucked ears into the boiling water, turns off the heat, and lets it poach in there for about 10 minutes. And it comes out, she says, the sweetest, it is the quickest, tastiest, and then adds butter.
Nice.
Buttered corn. So that little bit of sugar in the water is how she makes... If you say, oh, this is not so great, this corn this year, and or whatever you might be saying, you know, or we got the corn from that stand, and I don't really like, this is what to do to make it.
Or sometimes
like...
it dries out a little bit, too. If you buy it on a, you know, whatever, on the weekend, you forget to eat it
next
Thursday.
find it in your drawer.
Exactly.
You're like, oh, yeah, and you've already shucked
it's
it.
Dried
so it's
out
not
a little
even...
bit,
yeah, and
but
it's
this
not...
would bring it back.
Yeah. That's a good trick.
That's a good idea, Alex. And then do you ever do reheat corn in the microwave?
Totally. Mm.
Yep. Or in a saute pan.
Yeah. No, microwave's so easy,
that's
though.
That's a good too.
Microwave's so easy. And that corn, I was just thinking this as you were saying, canned, frozen, microwave. The cool thing about corn is it really does. It cans great. It freezes well. You can microwave it. You can put it in a saute pan. You can boil it. It is the most versatile and durable vegetable. Right? Like with green beans, you have to worry about, do I cook them too much or do I like them really crunchy? With corn, it's just cooking and you're done.
I yes. like overcooked green beans.
See? No, I do too, but you have to decide. No, that's what I meant. You have to decide on whether you like it that way or do you like it crunchy.
And it can
I'm
hang
you.
Around for a while yeah, too, right? But, in the husk if yeah, you haven't.
But corn is durable.
Yes.
And the amazing thing about corn is how well it pairs with so many things, how many things you can throw into it, how many things it can get thrown into. Those kernels right off the cob, amazing.
Yeah. And they go well in pasta, right? Think about everything. Pasta, stews, sauces, soups. It is endless.
Last year, I started doing a thing. I said, I never do this every time I say I'm going to do it because I thought it was such an amazing corn year. I began buying extra corn cobs and cutting it off and putting it into Ziploc bags and throwing it in the freezer. So we had corn for a long time.
Yeah.
I encourage you to do that. If you're liking a stand and they've got great corn this year, what does it hurt? Two extra ears at the end if somebody doesn't raid them.
At the restaurant, we go to March. With our frozen corn.
I bet we still have corn in from last year. Squirreled away.
Yeah, yeah. It's, you know what? Lee White, who's a friend of ours, she's the one who told me when she cooks corn, it's just as easy when you get to that pot boiling to do an extra 6 ears and eat your 6. And then when you're done, you know, cleaning up the kitchen, just knock them off the cob and throw them in a freezer bag and date it and chuck it in the freezer.
Do you have to cook it first? You can't freeze it?
No, you don't.
No?
And that's the great thing.
Yeah.
I think it's a little bit better if you don't cook it.
I think so too. But she always likes it cooked.
But we trust Lee.
In her thing, she's just like, then I can take it out and do whatever I want with it.
If you're going to do that, though, take the back of the knife and I always scrape out like the milky corn milk or whatever.
That's the good stuff.
To get that
good,
off
Alex.
So you're not wasting it.
And that
it.
Is the good stuff.
Good, good.
Right?
Okay.
Because you don't want to waste that, especially when the corn is in high season like now.
Now, on the other side of this break we're going to take, we have to talk about these flavored butters that you can put on corn and the seasonings that you can put on corn. And we're going to get into the fresh corn with bacon, shrimp, avocado, and lime. And we're going to get into corn on the cob with Parmesan cheese, a nod to Mexican street corn, all of that. I'm Faith Middleton. I hope you will make a charitable contribution to feed the hungry. More mouthwatering conversation and fun here on the Food Schmooze. We'll be right back.
Beans and cornbread. Cornbread had a fight. Beans, beans knocked Cornbread out of sight. Beans. Cornbread said, now that's all right. Beans. Meet me on the corner tomorrow night. Cornbread, you ain't straight. Beans. You better wake up or I'll gas you gate. Beans. Been in this pot since 2:30. Beans. Swelling and puffing and almost due. Beans. I'll be ready
to have a night.
Beans. That's what beans told Cornbread.
Beans.
You always get mad at me.
Beans.
I ain't mad at you.
Cornbread.
I'll be ready tomorrow night. Grab Cornbread by the toe.
Beans.
Beans said, Cornbread, let me go.
Beans.
Cornbread said, I'll lay you low.
Beans.
I'm gonna fight you, you so-and-so.
Meet me on the corner. Meet me on the corner tomorrow night.
That's what
Beans
said, Cornbread. You're so bad, you always want to fight.
Meet me
on the corner tomorrow night. Now I'm gonna beat the devil out of you.
There you go. That's the part. We've got to get to that. Oh, we are having a wall-to-wall corn celebration here on the Food Schmooze. All kinds of recipes, an enormous number, posted at our website, foodschmooze.org. All of it that we're talking about on the show, you can find there. We're going to talk with Alex about what wine goes best with corn on the cob. Do you remember the tradition of, at least this is how I grew up, when I was starting out in the newspaper business, and we would all, some of us lived in the same apartment complex, and it was so much fun because on Sunday we would go jump in the car together, go out to the beach, and the tradition was to come home and on the way stop and get at the favorite corn stands bags of corn, and then we would all go to our respective showers, shower, get cleaned up, you know, skin glowing, and then gather in somebody's apartment and do the corn feast. And it was so fantastic. We would cut the corn. Some people would cut the corn off the cob and eat it out of a bowl. That was dinner. There was not another thing on the table.
That sounds so heavenly right about now.
It's like Ralph Lauren summer.
Yeah, right.
Alex, what wine goes with corn?
So there's a couple choices you could go. The easy one would just be doing a Chardonnay. You could get your favorite Chardonnay, oaked or unoaked. You know, has good body, it's unctuous, and almost like a buttery note to it anyway. So it's playing off adding butter to corn. And if you want to be a little more adventurous, you could do like a Vouvray, which is the Chenin Blanc grape from the Loire in France.
Or
you
could do very affordable.
Very affordable. And even more affordable would be Chenin Blanc from South Africa that you can get for like, you know, easily under $15. And it's sort of like Chardonnay. It has a, you know, full-bodied, fruity sort of taste to it, but has good acidity. So it sort of will help clean the butter out of your mouth. And Vouvray is like fun to say.
And then Vouvray.
Vouvray. And then South African wines are always such good values that I always love spending my money on those wines, too.
So any reds, do any reds go with corn, would you say?
Again, you know, chilling reds in the summer, like Pinot Noir or any of the Côte d'Aron or the wholesome French wines that, you
sangria?
Know.
How about your sangria recipe?
Sangria would be good.
Yeah, would it?
Sure.
Okay.
Sangria
goes with anything. Exactly.
Enough sangria and you won't even need the corn.
All right. This is a recipe that I make again and again and again when fresh corn comes out. So it's fresh corn with bacon, shrimp, avocado, and lime.
Yum.
It is the easiest thing in the world to make. And I would say to you, and I put this online, honestly, make a double batch because I got caught with this where I was doing it and I grilled the corn before cutting it off the cob. You don't have to do that at all. But I just wanted to, just for fun, this particular weekend. And by the time I got back from the grill, I had put, you know, I thought I was doing extra corn. And I came back and I had put the bowl on the table. It was gone. So I realized you must do something. You have to make a double batch of this if you possibly can. It's simple. You can buy cooked shrimp or you can put some shrimp in water or on the grill, whatever's easiest for you, and just chop it up after it's cooked and set it aside. You fry some bacon until it's crisp and then drain it on paper towels and then just chop up the bacon, set that aside. cook the corn whatever way you want, and then remove the kernels with a sharp knife and put get out a bowl, put the kernels in the bowl with the bacon pieces, with the shrimp, with the avocado and butter, and then stir it. You want to do it while the corn kernels are hot. Stir it so that the butter melts in. Yum. And then you this is where the sea salt and the fresh lime juice you do to taste. So you squeeze a little lime juice, you do a little sprinkle of salt, mix it up and taste. Is that enough? Do you want a little, if you wanted to add a little cayenne to give this a little snap, you could do that. But the recipes online, you can spin this your way, but this combination of bacon, shrimp, avocado, and lime, it has that whole thing going on. It's got the crunchiness of the texture, and the bacon. The chew of the shrimp, and that's your protein with the avocado richness and the corn and the mussels.
Really grueling.
Fun. Oh, that's great.
Bacon and corn.
Oh, it's just one of the great things. Just one of the great things together.
I want to amend my corn cake recipe.
With bacon?
Oh my gosh.
Wow. I thought you fried it in bacon fat.
Oh my God, I do now.
That is a good idea.
And I add bacon bits to the batter.
That is a good idea.
So you fry the bacon, you take it out, you pat it dry in your little paper towels like you did. You leave the bacon fat in the pan. You chop up the bacon, add it to the corn cakes, and then you fry the corn cakes in the bacon fat.
And then save a little
amended
bacon that you can chop up and you just sprinkle it on the top.
Yes.
Bacon dust.
Recipe amended.
Approved.
Can I be the 10,000th person who said, she's a winner? You need to put that on your restaurant menu.
Yeah, bacon corn cakes.
Oh, yeah. I know, really fast. You just need to have it as a special or something. Now, Alex, what do you have?
So I spent my summers as a kid in Indian Cove, and our close friends, Dick and Steph, taught me since I was a kid to soak, the whole corn with the husk in salty water, and you keep it in a bucket for a couple of hours. And then that goes straight to the grill, and it almost steams inside the husk. And you can actually char the outside. The outside gets burnt and flakes off, and then you carefully bring that in or to a table, and then you peel it, and then what you'll have inside is this like beautiful corn that's semi-steamed, semi-grilled, salty already, and you just douse that with butter, and then
I have a wild question. That sounds delicious. A wild question: could you use ocean water?
I think we've done that on the sailboat really before. Good. I know I've used a wine bucket when we had like white wine chilling.
Yeah,
and then I have two ears of corn sticking out next to the wine bucket.
Nice.
Done that without soaking it. Just taking it right out of the grocery store bag, put it right on the grill.
It prevents it from burning as badly. And
is that what it does?
And allows you to cook it longer and it steams it a little bit more.
You mean the outside husks? It prevents that from burning as badly?
I think it allows you to cook it more thoroughly without it burning. Huh. But we've been in a hurry and sort of tried it like, okay, we soaked in water, good enough.
I go both ways, though, depending on what I want. If I want the kernels to be like charred, almost caramel, then I like to do it out of the husk. But if my mom used to call it steaming on the grill or boiling on the grill, right? Because you actually do get the same results without having the boiling water in the middle of August in your kitchen.
And it smells so good. The burning corn wafts through the neighborhood.
And then soaked in salt water is even better than what we used to do. It's just water because it seasons it, and you don't have to do the salt.
But I want to make sure I understand. Do you shuck it at all?
Mm-mm. You shuck it before
after.
You eat it.
Yep.
Right before you eat it. So we take so you see people at the grocery store, pulling the husk off the corn. We don't. We buy it, bring it home whole, and then we soak it in water, salt water, and then we put it on the grill, dripping wet. And then we cook that while we're cooking whatever, and we allow eventually it dries out, catches on fire almost, and finally, you take that with tongs, bring it inside on a wooden chopping board, allow it to sit for a few minutes, and then very carefully, with your hands, you start peeling the husk, and you'll get all the steam that pours out, and it just smells like burnt husk and corn. And then you drizzle, and you just coat that with butter. But like Matt's grandpa...
It's a cool effect.
Oh, it's so
fun. You have
fun.
To do this outside, though. You don't want to do this in the middle of your
day. Or you can do it inside, just have help cleaning up. Yeah.
And if you're impatient, you don't have to soak it. You can just throw it on the grill. With
at
the
least
husk
wet
on.
It. At least wet it. So if you're going to not soak it, run it underneath the running water in the kitchen for a few seconds.
So I saw something on YouTube, because YouTube is like my go-to for cooking tips now. And all those years, my parents had us chucking the corn and the husks and the silks going going all over. We made mustard, all this stuff. And then I saw this not too long ago, probably in the spring. I saw this YouTube video where this guy took an ear of corn and just as he got it right out of the farm stand, and he went with a knife and off the back end, right?
Oh,
and he
I've
cut about it. Maybe he lost a couple rows of kernels, and he just cracked it with a knife, cut it right off, and then he just stuck his fingers inside underneath the husk, and he pulled out this ear of corn perfectly clean and silk-free.
I've seen that.
I was just like, huh? And so I had to go try it, and it works every time. So I think the whole husking the corn thing was to keep us out of the kitchen, away from everyone, on the porch. You know, because you didn't even care if the husk went everywhere because we were in the yard. And right? So because all you had to do was cut
speechless.
And pull.
Oh, it
I know.
Works.
That's, I watched the video, like, I watched the YouTube video 100 times
Matt
over.
Tried it.
I couldn't believe, like, all that time. Like, and then you're covered in silks.
You cut the bottom and you pull it off the top, right?
Yeah, and then it's done.
I love that so much that we are, right now, I'm asking Jonathan McNichol, let's post that YouTube video right now. So because that is such a genius idea.
I just kept looking
Why
at it going,
why did we never think of this?
Yeah, I mean, I just remember being a kid and just being
covered.
Why did
the silks come off?
It's just that you just give it a little twist and it pulls right out.
I think they're attached on the bottom or something if you get rid
something.
Of that.
And it just sort of – it works every time. And then you're just left with this, like, cone of empty husk.
Yep.
By the way, Alex's I'm now calling ocean water corn is on our website with all of our corn recipes, a million up there at foodschmooze.org.
Do you check the salinity of the water?
You know, I've been swimming in it all day. Faith, I have to tell you, though, really important. We were eating corn on the cob outside one summer, and we didn't realize that dogs can't eat corn on the cob. They can't eat the cob part. And then we held on, and Max, the pup, took a bite. And then I was like, Matt, is that – I wonder if dogs can even, you know, eat corn. And called her vet, and it's a number two reason why dogs have to have surgery to remove something on their stomachs. They can't digest the cob itself. So you really, if you're outside having a picnic and you have your pets around, make sure that the cob itself is discarded away from where your dogs can get into it.
That's a good tip. Thanks, Alex. Okay, so corn on the cob with Parmesan cheese. Giada De Laurentiis, someone I love, she's got this recipe for olive oil and garlic, grated Parmesan, Italian parsley, salt, and of course, your ears of corn. So we've got a skillet on heavy, you know, so cast iron skillet on top of the stove. And you put the oil in it and you saute the garlic until it's tender and it's fragrant, just a little while. And we have the instructions there. But then you take it off the heat and you let it sit there for a few minutes until it cools down. And you got a couple tablespoons of Parmesan cheese. And you stir that into your garlic mixture with your chopped parsley and salt. Then you cook your corn in the saucepan of boiling water until it's crisp and tender at the same time. And then you put the corn on a platter and you brush that garlic cheese mixture that you have done. It's like treating corn like it's garlic bread. You brush that that garlic mixture onto the corn and you sprinkle it with a little more of the cheese. And that is a riff on both the Italians and the Mexicans, if you ask me. That is the smartest idea. Corn on the cob with Parmesan cheese. So treating Parmesan cheese as if it's garlic bread.
The corn, again, is just like a vessel to like flavor it with its own sort of corny flavor. Matt's grandpa used to say what you said, Lori, that like this corn is so good it doesn't even need butter.
Yeah, well... When it's good, it's good.
But butter makes it better.
Butter does make it
It's a little
it
messy.
It's healthier.
All right. So what about your favorite farm stand? So last season, we got into a fight in our kitchen about whose corn was better. And people get very personal about this, right? You can't – I mean, I've seen outbreaks at picnics going, oh, you got your corn there. Which farm stand? So I went around to a couple different farm stands and I got just a half dozen from each one. And then I put them, you know, I just took them and put them in boiling water and I took them off the cob and with a spoon, they were all great corn. So I was wondering,
time of day though, too. Some farm stands, you can watch them just receive their order and it's super fresh or they just like picked it that morning. I mean, so timing is important, too. If you go late in the day when everyone's already, like,
picked
gone through and you're left with a remnant,
Is that, or do you just get attached to a farm stand and you're just like, this is the best corn?
It
do you always go to the same place?
If I find one that's just fantastic, then I become obsessed with the corn from that place. And as if the field is producing corn the same way, every single stalk. But I become obsessed with that place. And I'm just a little startled if it's not from the place. And I wonder if it has to do with your taste buds perceiving sweetness, because I tend to like sweeter corn.
But we don't do it with anything else. I don't say, did you get the zucchini from that farm? Right? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. We do it with tomatoes.
We do it with tomatoes. Yeah, with tomatoes and corn, I think, are the main things we do it with.
But I can sometimes see tomatoes because people grow different varieties of tomatoes.
Different soil.
Right,
different,
right.
Yeah. But sometimes I think the corn is brought in from different places. So some farm stands, I think, are growing their own corn, mm-hmm. which to me is better than from someplace
totally.
Else.
Yeah, yeah. So you want to go to a farm stand that actually grows corn instead of swapping it with another farm.
Yeah, unless the farm they're getting it from is fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, who?
Or is it one of those things that this time of year, all the corn is really good? Because I've never had corn from around here that came locally that I ever was like, well, that's not as good as this corn.
You haven't? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sad to say I have.
Oh, yeah, see, I've lucked out.
No, I don't care if I have this corn. This
yeah,
is
I've
not.
Lucked out.
The then. Thing about farm stands, I always have to remember to carry money with me.
Yeah, but
you go in and I'm
cash,
like,
cash, right? Money.
I don't have money. All right.
I'll be back.
You don't think about that before you stop, Alex?
No, because it sort of catches you off guard. All of a sudden you see cars parked and you see a farm stand. You see like produce falling off and you're like pulling in with
corn.
A thing of dust behind you. And then you run up and then it's like, wait a second, I don't have any money.
So you don't have the emergency money kit in your car.
Well, I usually spend the emergency
place.
Money.
Yeah, he doesn't replenish it. I still go to a place that has the can. There's bags of corn. You sort of grab it. You stick your money in the little slot.
So then I could say, we'll pay you back
later.
Yeah,
put an IOU in there.
Do you know some of the stands say do not peel the top to look to see if there any of the kernels are rotten? Some of them have rules.
Yeah. Oh, if they never got pollinated or whatever.
Yeah.
Huh. I mean, I'm just really checking, is it filled with worms? Is this one rotten? Mm. And they don't like that, because then everyone who sees the bent over pieces, they're not going to buy that one.
It's sort of the price you pay, though. If you don't just pick the most perfect vegetables. You sort of take it all in this way.
But we don't get to do that, and we do with corn in the supermarket. Yeah. But you know, when you have packaged things, you don't get to like rip the top off and start rummaging through the Brussels sprouts.
I always open the tops of stuff you can smell. I always feel bad waiting for someone to tap me on the shoulder, like, you can't smell like that detergent. Oh, okay.
So is there corn? Wait a minute. Is there corn etiquette? Like, is there
you
a way you're
in the eating?
Not in the eating. It seems like in the purchasing procuring.
Oh, we need to get into this after this break. Seriously,
I've seen signs before telling you with rules.
No, we need. There are rules. All right, please support your. We're going to do also flavored butters. Please support your local food growers and food makers. Find the food wine recipes, the corn celebration recipes. There are a million of them right now online at foodschmooze.org, and it's up there 24/7. More delicious conversation after a quick break. Please stay with us.
Poultry and Mona Lisa were the man.
I just want to see. I want to see. I really want to be there in the recording studio when the, you know, you're in the pitch meeting with MGM Records and you say, I have got the lyrics for a song that's just going to be a hit. You know, this is like unbelievable. Mona Lisa was a hit. So I'm Faith Middleton with the gang. This is the Food Schmooze Party coming to you in Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and New York, including the East End of Long Island. You can tweet us at FaithWNPR. And to join the conversation with us on Facebook, search The Faith Middleton Show. The gang is here, and we are talking. It's a corn celebration, wall to wall on this show. I'm so hungry for corn, I can barely stand it. I want to just like run from my chair right now and start making corn. We're going to talk about flavored butters to put on corn, corn varieties, corn eating style, and a thing that we do when we're serving corn that I don't do for anything else. Maybe I'll do that right now. Do you ever, when people are over for dinner and you're planning, what are we going to have? Do you ever say, before you go to the grocery store, how many lamb chops do you want?
Yeah,
how many hamburgers
right.
are you going to eat?
Two ears per person, a 1.5 ears per person.
I say to my guests, how many corn ears do you want? I make sure, it's very important, you know, I don't want to, and they say, I'll have two, I'll have four, I'll have, you know, I'll have one, depending on, and that's
totally.
How I order the corn.
Yeah,
isn't that
totally.
The weirdest thing?
Because you don't want to, I guess you want to have the right amount. You don't want to cook extra. Right?
I don't know.
I don't know why.
Because corn is really important.
Because I think that's the one thing about corn. We take corn very seriously here in the Northeast.
Yes, right.
Right? I mean, it's more, I think we take it more seriously than the tomatoes.
You know, corn, though, has been around. So maize has been around for thousands and thousands of years. I did a canoe trip down the Green River when I was in high school, 2 weeks paddling down this river, Anasazi ruins left and right. Hiked up to them, and they're essentially untouched, and got up into one, turned around and found like a 6-inch little piece of corn, like maize, that had been there since the 1300s because it was an Anasazi ruin. And I put it back. I didn't take it. But it's so American. Corn is
I was going to say, it is
one
thing that's
ours,
right? North and South?
Right? I think it's all,
North and South America. It's one thing that's our part of the world.
Alex, I asked, is it possible to look up how many edible corn varieties
so
are there?
there are thousands in just on sweet corn versus like the field corn, which was the corn that I was saying that has a lot of starch. It was inedible
in Colorado.
The sweet corns, looking at the name, there's like early Sunglow, Seneca Horizon, Sundance, early Golden Bantam, Io Chief, Mare, Jubilee, and then in the white sweet corn, Silver Queen, Stoll's Evergreen, True Platinum. It just like all these are like bread corn. So
I remember reading an article in some nutrition publication saying that the real nutrients in true corn are in darker shades that are a little purpley, browny, black.
The bicolors, right?
The more color in your corn and the darker it is, the more nutrients are in that corn, supposedly. I don't know.
And it's categorized now, too, right? I remember reading like SU, SE.
Yep, that's what they're
right?
bicolor SU.
Yeah,
yep.
SH2. So it's like.
What does that refer to?
It's
sugar
standard,
content.
Sugary extender, super sweet, synergistic, and augmented. Super sweet.
Can I put on my lab coat?
These are the different categories.
Yeah,
I think these are. I think this is how they categorize the different seeds and the different types of corn. And some of them are naturally crossbred.
What corn do you think they use for corn chips?
Ooh, that's
like
that's
tortilla
a tough one.
Corn chips.
Yeah, I mean, I've never thought about that before.
Yeah.
Corn puffs, snack foods are called.
And popcorn's a totally different corn, right? The corn that we use for corn meal, totally different corn. The corn used for tortillas, different corn, right? So there's many different varieties.
They've been modifying corn forever.
Yeah. And now they're doing genetic modifications, which is a whole other thing that we could have a whole show on.
We're going to see new varieties coming out. Yeah. Okay, so we're going to get to flavored butters. So we do that thing with how many corn ears do you want in a strange way. And what about eating? Are we rows or are we just helter-skelter around the ear? Does everybody have
an
eating style?
It depends if you're like around other people or not. If Matt and I are at home, it's fun to do like the typewriter thing where you just go down one side and I go back. Then I have corn in my teeth and then like I don't like to be around people. But if I were eating with you guys, I might like it if it were like cut off the corn and mixed in a salad. You can eat it daintily. lovely.
You can't with the mean form. That.
You're but, in the, come on.
You don't know us. Yeah.
It's typewriter all the way, I think. Right?
All the way around.
So funny. No, corn type, in your
it's
teeth
typewriter. You go from one left to right, and you ding, and then you turn, and and then ding, and turn.
And you have to get it like perfectly. You can't leave one kernel
because,
behind.
And
you
have to
go back.
Yep, yeah, that's it. See,
yeah, that's
we're
true.
Right. It's like a typo.
That's
like,
true. It has to be fixed.
And then remember Tom Hanks in the movie Big when he takes the baby corn and tries to eat it like a big piece of corn.
I forgot about that.
Same way.
Now here's where I need advice, because this is something that happens during the boiling water of corn that makes me nervous. Your corn is done and you've gotten a few extra ears, and so it's on a big platter on the table. Do you leave the remaining corn in the hot water while you're eating, or does that make it mushy?
I would take it out.
So we tend to leave it in, and I'm just nervous about it the whole time, but it tends to be okay. But I think, have I just, by luck, gotten it out of there fast enough?
I think it's the corn, what we said earlier. Corn is one of the most durable and versatile things to cook, which is why I think, as I'm sitting here, I'm thinking, it's like, you know, it's one of the things everyone does. And I think that's why. Pretty foolproof.
It's encapsulated. It's
it's pretty foolproof.
Well, you don't want to overcook it, but you can undercook it. Well, I guess you're right.
I don't know.
It's overcooked, but
come on.
You're
if
right.
It's sweet, and I'm not saying about you got it at the end of this. I'm saying right now, really, I could eat it raw on the cob and just be happy. Sometimes I think the cooking of it is just because I like it warm.
If we undercook it
raw.
Totally. Yes.
If we undercook it, we'll take a knife and cut it off the cob, and then Matt will put it in a bowl with like lime juice, some olive oil, throw in some black beans, cilantro, and then you can warm that up or whatever, and before you add the cilantro. But it's almost like you can't mess it up no matter what you do.
Let's do flavored butters. So the butter comes to room temperature so that you can mix things in. You stir it up, and then you roll it in a little piece of wax paper to make a log and put it in the refrigerator. And so that it firms up, but the flavor you've put it, the seasoning in the butter has flavored it all the way through. And then you put it out and people just do slices and put it on the corn. You can, of course, sprinkle things directly on the corn, but this flavored butter is a great way to go.
Yeah, what are your favorites?
Paprika. Well, here's one I have never tried. I have never put truffle butter on corn on the cob. Do you think that would be good?
We do one where you take it off the cob. And like you did with the Parmesan, we do the same thing, except we take it off the cob grilled, and then we put it in a bowl with Parmesan cheese and truffle oil.
Truffle oil.
We use truffle oil.
Truffle oil. I have that.
The truffle butter we get in the 4-ounce packages from D'Artagnan, and we keep it frozen, and we use it for – so you go through a freezer, and you can make popcorn with it or whatever, and it stays forever.
And I just put a little piece of that butter, by the way, that truffle butter – on a steak on the grill when it's done, just one little pat on the grill.
So then you just move it over to the corn.
I tried your hamburger thing with the butter patty. We loved it. It makes such a difference.
Oh, good. Okay.
Such a good tip.
It sort of fools you into thinking it's richer somehow.
It makes it better.
Just good. Okay, good. I'm going to try truffle butter. I haven't tried that yet. I like spices Moroccan spices. Zaatar. You know, which has got the sumac in it and all that. Oh, fantastic.
Cumin is good.
I like the pink salt, you know, the Himalayan salt. You take that with a little bit of chive, just real simple.
Oh.
Or my favorite, and you know what my go-to spice is that tahine from Mexico.
You can buy
that here now in certain markets, and it's sea salt, dehydrated lime, and a little chili.
Can you bring me one of those, please?
You got to go to one of those little markets.
You can go online to get this.
Totally.
It's spelled T-A-J-I-N. Tahine.
And boy, is that great on corn.
Yes, it is.
Really is. It's an amazing thing.
They put that on corn in Mexico.
Yeah, they do put that on corn. They put it on a lot.
If I had a bottle of that, I would, while I was cooking, I'd probably sprinkle it in my palm and like,
just
lick
it
off.
Yeah. It's so good.
It's great in potato salad.
Corn is one of the things that it lends well with. I think it's because of that sweetness in the corn, and you get the salt and the acidity from the lime and a little bit of spice.
Could you make a chopped bacon butter?
Yes.
So just chop it up a great deal.
And then mix in a little of the bacon juice or the bacon fat into the butter to fortify the butter.
So what amount, after you fry bacon...
That's brilliant, Chris.
After you fry break and take out some of the grease and leave a little in, and then melt butter into that pan.
Yeah, totally.
So now the
yeah.
butter's like, and, then, and you use the butter to scrape off all of the stuff off the bottom.
There you go.
And the residual yeah. bacon mm. fat.
Yeah.
And then, and then turn that into compound butter.
Yeah, and then mix that back into a big thing of butter.
And then just
butter.
Eat that.
Yeah, totally. Who needs the corn? See, this goes back to my little bit of butter and everything. Just a little bit. A stick or two.
Weekend. I just keep thinking. We seem to have put it in everything. The weekend guests, I'm starting to feel sorry for them. You know, here are your statins as you come in the door. We're about to have this truffle butter on your toast. We're about
We work with all our best cardiologists.
Imagine if you took the husk, you know, peeled it back, laid bacon inside, and then put the husk back
Ooh,
and then grilled
cooked
it.
It like that.
It'd be such
right,
a
but
surprise
you try that
for
this
your
weekend.
Guests.
Yeah. You pull back and there's bacon in there.
Surprise
hey,
corn. Uh-huh. All right. So what else could we put in our butters, our flavored butters? Chris, I love your chives or chopped scallions.
Cilantro
and that Himalayan sea salt.
Yeah, and salt.
Oh,
that's
cilantro.
Beautiful. Mm. Good idea.
Yeah, and cilantro. A little cumin, right? Cumin cilantro with a little bit of cumin.
And a lot, if you go to a market that has international spice mixtures, some of those are so delicious.
The Latin
curry is wonderful on corn. I love to do that. Make a butter, curried butter. Then there's the, in a way, you can turn a corn on the cob into buffalo corn on the cob by melting, using butter and with a little Frank's hot sauce in it.
So where's our buffalo editor,
mild,
chicken editor?
But we need it a little, we don't want it too over the top because you want to still taste the corn and get the hit of sweetness. But buffalo wing butter.
Yeah, write that down. Huh?
The Spaniards do their smoked paprika and sweet paprika.
Oh,
I know,
sure.
Faith, you mentioned paprika, but using that Spanish stuff in the can with in the black can.
Pimenton, the smoked paprika, that would give the corn a little smoky flavor.
Yum.
So that Spanish paprika.
Yeah, and Spanish smoked paprika.
Mm.
Yeah, pimenton, exactly.
Yeah.
I can't believe we've done this whole corn celebration. We have not talked about Indian pudding. How can that be?
Yeah,
we
haven't. Cornmeal, right?
Cornmeal.
And molasses.
Sweet and good.
Yeah.
So if you were doing
with cinnamon?
I mean, you have to say that on
them. Yeah.
It is. When I was a kid in, you know, Yankee New England, I was just, I could not understand Indian pudding. And now I think it's just
a
brilliant concept.
It was wasted in the 70s. Every restaurant in Connecticut served it, and I hated it. And now I crave it, and you can only get it in like one place in Boston.
You know, it reminds me of corn chowder.
Yankee Silversmith in Wallingford used to serve it.
Do they still do?
Corn chowder with the cobs.
Yeah.
Did you ever do that?
Yeah.
Cook with the cobs?
Yes.
It sounds so weird, but we make, you know, take the cobs and then
boil
it, make like a corn chowder out of it.
Alex, I forgot about that completely.
So good.
What a wonderful memory that is, and a good thing to suggest.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah, don't waste the cobs, right?
It's like don't waste the lobster shells.
Yeah,
same thing.
Don't
waste the corn cobs.
So tell me quickly what you put in.
So I think it's easy to start off with a saute pan with olive oil, and then you're going to soften some onions, and you can do some garlic and celery and carrots and sort of make that mirepoix. Pork, bacon.
Fat back or
and
bacon,
then
yeah.
We save all the corn cobs, and then you're going to, you know, bring that up to a boil, and it just sucks out all the flavor, and you're going to sort of make a stock out of it.
Yeah.
And then eventually, you know, the bacon and all that goes into that soup.
You would add milk or cream.
Milk at the end, and then you can also add fresh corn that you can add to it off the cob.
Do you keep the cobs in the freezer or the refrigerator?
You know,
beforehand.
When we have like a big group, we sort of make it, even that night when you're doing dishes, I start the stock going, and I do the same thing with the shells from lobster.
Yep.
So while I'm cleaning up, I've got my stock pot going, and I've got my shells
low
boiling.
Fat
and
milk,
we've done
both. No fat milk.
Like if
or heavy cream.
Heavy milk, heavy cream.
A lot of potatoes.
Okay. Oh, potatoes, right.
Yeah,
new potatoes.
Yeah.
Best time on the show.
Corn.
I just love all of you. All right, so the Food Schmooze on WNPR airs Wednesdays at 3 and 9, Saturdays at noon. We are online right now, anytime. Find the recipes that we've been talking about, all the corn recipes, the wine suggestions at foodschmooze.org. Here's to pleasure, my friends, and remember, never eat more than you can lift. In New Haven, I'm Faith Middleton.
Come to mind.